Yeah, I can see that. So right now. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm just glad that we have reached the midweek and we can come together to give God thanks and to give praises. And today, while I was thinking about, I've been thinking about this for a few days now, but today while I was thinking about coming home to do this, I realized that government has put out different information that have a lot of people worried about the gathering. We only can gather in six, et cetera, et cetera. But what I want us to remember is that government can do what they want to do. Corona can do what it wants to do, but God is the one that we have to trust and we have to depend on. And his word never fails. So today we are looking at love and forgiveness. But I'm really dealing with love this evening. That's why it's a two-part series. So we are dealing with love this evening, and I'm just wanting somebody to get the Bible. I want a few Bibles out, please. So if we can have somebody looking at Jeremiah 31 and verse 3. Don't read it, just find it. And I'll tell you when I need it to be read. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Are we getting there? And then Ephesians 2, 4 to 6. John 3, 1. 1 John 3, 1, sorry. And 1 John 4, 10. That's where we'll start. Those are our texts we're starting. Let us pray. Mighty God, we want to thank you for your mercies and your grace. We want to thank you for your many blessings and for your watch care over us. We thank you, Lord, for taking us out and bringing us back in. And we know that right now there's a lot of mixed messages about the virus and about what is happening. But I know one thing is sure, that your message is straight and clear, that whatever is happening, you will not allow it to come against us unless that is the will that you wish us to have. But also help us, Lord, to, in our heart, be comforted. Be comforted by you, be understanding that you are going to supply all our needs according to your riches. So we don't need to really be worried or to get anxious. It's humanly what we do, but help us to move away from just being humanly connected and being spiritually and divinely connected before we become humanly connected. And that way we'll be able to weather the storms on all fronts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Okay. So can the person with Jeremiah 31:3, read that one for me, please. Jeremiah 31:3. Don't tell me I have to go back to when I used to be in school.
All right, I'll read it. Let me just find it. Jeremiah 31:3.
Yes.
Is that what you said, Howard?
Yes, yes. Jeremiah 31 and verse 3.
Okay, I'm reading from the New International Version, and it says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with...
Jeremiah 3, 31, 3.
Sorry, Lorraine, are you speaking? Because it's very low.
Yeah.
I have a gentle voice.
It's Jeremiah 31.
I don't know if I'll agree, but please speak up.
Are you ready?
Yes, go ahead again, Jen. Lorraine.
Okay. The Lord appeared to us in the past saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness.
Okay. And I start with that because I want us to be to realize that no matter what we see happening around us, God loves us first. And he didn't have to come after us. He didn't have to do anything for us. But while we sinned and strayed from him, he made it his business. He made it his life work in terms of humanity to come after us every time. And no matter how far we go, he still comes after us. And today, what I want us to do is to let this be a part of how we see life, that we're not going to let the things around us, Corona, not having a job, not sure what is happening next week, going to change our mind about loving the next person we see and sharing Christ with them. And I don't mean preaching, I mean sharing Christ with them. And I'm trying this week for us to look at sharing Christ, not in terms of, oh, this is what the Bible says, no. this is what I can do. Let me help you with it. Let me help you to carry that bag. Let me have a 5 minute and say hello, good morning, how are you? Give a smile. We're sharing Christ. We want to start moving into that direction because a lot of people are lonely. A lot of people are frightened. A lot of people are worried, let's for want of a better word, as to what's happening. They don't know. But do we know what's happening? I'm looking for answers. Do we know what's happening?
No.
No. We have faith.
I believe that we know what's happening. But I believe we don't understand that we know what's happening. God says that in the end of time, these things will happen. So we know what's happening according to his word. We know that Corona is going to be there. It's going to come because God, I see your ancestor Elizabeth, because God says it, think these things will happen. We know that God is protecting us. So we know that. We know that whatever happens to us, whether it's negative or positive, God allows it to happen. So we don't need to fret. Sister Elizabeth.
I did not lift my hand. I was pressing something.
Oh, the picture of you with your hands up beside your head. Okay, sorry.
No, no, darling.
That's what I mean when I say, do we know what's happening? We don't know tomorrow, the next minute, what is going to happen. But we know from the word of God what is happening now. This is the word, the unfolding of God's word. But God is saying, is in this difficult time that we need to step up and start showing people his love. Because this is the time we can reach some people. Some people would never reach them if time is quiet and comfortable right through. They would never listen to a word you have to say. But that very same person now, you can talk to about Jesus Christ. Because you might start on a conversation as to what is going to happen, what the government's saying about the distance and now only 6 people out of 1 family can meet. And in that, you say, you know, this is what the Bible tells us, you know, we knew this was coming. And just leave it like that. Some people just want you to say to them, you know, with all of this, you're still healthy, isn't it? Have you been tested? Yes. No, I'm not positive, I'm negative. Right away, that's a conversation to help people to realize that you have an interest in them. All right? So let's go for the next reader, please. Romans 8 and verse 38 and 39, please. And then I have a big question for all of us. Romans 8, 38 and 39, please. If you're muted, I can't hear you. So I see people talking, but they are muted, so I don't know what they're saying.
Okay. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
All right, my big question to us is this period separating us from God? We feel that the spirit is interfering with how we worship God, with how we see God, with our belief, with our faith.
It shouldn't,
Earl, but is it affecting? You know, I'm putting the question out there. Do we think that this is affecting us?
No.
But that's a personal question. We can't answer for we can answer for ourselves.
That's true, Winston, but I do not. But for me, you're right, you can only answer for yourself. I believe you should draw you closer to him, because we do know what, as Howard's been saying, you know, it tells us what's going to happen in the last days. But as human beings, we still sometimes, you know, like put our hands up and think, what's going on? But if you really stop for a minute and backtrack, you know, those of us faith and believe realize that it's a sign of time. And for me, it doesn't pull me away from God. It pulls me closer, gives me a better understanding. Frightening as it is, to know what is going on. I know how they say we shouldn't be fearful, and really we shouldn't be, but as human beings, we do have these. So we have to check ourselves. And then, you know, once we check ourselves and realize, hold on a minute, who we worship, what can he do, what does he do, then hopefully bring us back on track. But for me, it keeps me close and not pull me away.
All right. But if you know, yes?
Can we think of, or can we bring our attention that something that happened in the news this week?
Go ahead.
We often hear about what is going on in Belarus, in Russia. how there are a group of people who are demonstrating against this leader who has been in the country, who has been ruling the country for 26 years. The thing about these people is that they want freedom, they want democracy, but nothing seems to stop them from demonstrating, despite the fear they have, they face of even being arrested by the police, and reports we hear of demonstrators being abused, physically abused whilst in custody. And I'm just wondering, when we read what Paul said in Romans 8, can we have the attitude that they have? You know, for them, what they're doing is an act of faith, because they believe that this man has to stand down, no matter how stubborn he is. Can we, as God's people, have that kind of attitude, faith that they have, in that whatever we may face, we're not going to stand down, but we're going to, you know, see it through to the end? Because at the end of the day, for these people, and they get their democracy at the end of the day, for God's people, it's eternal life. And for us, that's the main prize we should aim for.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead.
And I was going to say what Earl just said. You know, unity is power. And we all have a certain degree of faith. And that's why we probably worship together and study together like we are now, to build our faith and encourage. To talk about people in Belarus, what's happened, they're out in their thousands. And you have that amount of people together, you know, it lifts each one of them up. It gives them the support and the encouragement and the faith to fight for what they want. So I suppose, just like we as Christians, if we have that sort of, look, what it's like when you go to camp meeting. For me, when I used to go to camp meeting, it's a feeling of like, I don't want to come back home, right? You're on that high, you're on that mountain. And probably we can't always do that every day, but having this sort of comradeship, Christian fellowship, is going to help. It's supporting, it's building that faith, isn't it? Only by yourself. And when the challenges come, boy, that faith has to be really deep, because you can get discouraged. But when you have others to lift you up and support you, it keeps you going, I would think. I don't think I know.
Yes.
That's it.
And remember, I didn't say whether it was pulling us apart or together, and I just said if it's affecting us. And it should be affecting each of us, because we know what the Word of God says. We are supposed to be living according to the Word of God. We should now realize that this is a time that it's going to either make us or break us as individuals and collectively as a church. So this is a time, look at it now. You might want to say, let's call 10 different church meetings, and you get 25 people, the most you get 100 on a Sabbath. I'm not saying the others are not doing things. I'm not saying they're not ready. But what you look at, today I was in Clapham, or Southeast London, or Southwest London, whichever one that goes for Clapham. And there was a group of church people there protesting. They opened their church and the police was talking their foolishness. And they stood across the part of the Baptist church. No police going in or out. And there are people in their church singing and praising, you know. And a group of people stood at the gate and formed a link. About 5 set of people. So it's about 50 people they would have to go through to stop the people from. And after a while, they just stood up out there looking. The police just stood up like, oh, I can't do anything. They just stood up looking. I am not saying we should do that. I'm not saying we should go up against the Lord that way. But I'm still saying, these people are saying, we are in our church. We're having a praise, whatever it is, whether it's a worship or what. We're not closing the church. And we're standing up and they're linking arms so that the police cannot push past them to get into their church.
Okay, Lorraine.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was just, you know, thinking about what Earl said and High Sin. Yes, when you're part of a collective, everybody does feel, you know, strong, and they're working together, and, you know, your faith is built. But realistically, when push comes to shove, like Earl said, when that collective group that was demonstrating there against, you know, whoever they were, they didn't wish in power, when they got into the cells by themselves and they were being abused, you know, whether it be whipped or tortured or whatever the case may be, that's when the truth of the matter boils down to a personal faith. And even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, Jesus went with his disciples and he said, stay here and pray, you know, for me. But push come to shove, he was on his own. And it was he on his own on the cross. So it's a personal thing, I believe.
Okay. All right. I want us, the other readers, just hold their reading. I'd like somebody else to find Matthew 22:39, please. Matthew 22:39, and read that for me, please, before we go back on track with the other readers. Hello?
Matthew 22:39.
Yes, Matthew chapter 22, verse 39.
And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself.
Okay, so you see what we are commanded to do.
Yes.
We are commanded to love our neighbors. In a time of stressfulness, that's the time we really show whether we have, you know, when... I'm going to use an analogy, and maybe it's not even the best one, but I'm going to use it anyway. When two people get together and say they love each other and they're just coming together, they're not married, everything is hunky-dory and everything is good enough. But you know when they really have the real test of that marriage?
And problems.
They're married and 1 year pass and 2 year pass and one losing job and the other one can't afford to come up with enough money to pay the bills. Mm-hmm. That's the time you know whether that's a relationship that's going to balance off, you know. When the difficult moments come and decisions are to be made, which is not ideal to both of them, and somebody have to compromise, that's when you know the real thing. The same thing with us as Christians. It's not when we are able to go into church and sing and go as we please and come at whatever time we want that we know whether or not we are there. It's when we are by ourselves, as Lorraine is saying, and have to help somebody who is less agreeable than yourself, but you know you still have to help them. You know, this person wouldn't want him to walk near them. But you see that you need to help that person. That's when the real challenge comes. When your neighbor who you live against for 10 years and you never speak to them over the 10 years. But in this time, you have to go and knock that door and say, oh, you okay? Do you need anything? I could, you know. And that's the way the challenge comes in. When you're at work and you're the only one in your office that is a Christian, you have to stand up to the principal despite what they're going on with. You still have to say, no, I'm not going to drink that. No, I don't want that to eat. No, I'm not in that conversation because that conversation is not a conversation I want to have. And you know, oh, you're funny. Oh, you're still here. You're still be. You have to still be the one that says, okay, fine, but I'm not taking part anyway. Mm-hmm. You have to be the one that stand up. And when you're in a group, it's easy to say, yes, I'm in agreement. When you're in a group, it's easy to say, yes, I'm in agreement because they might not pick on you. But when you are the only one where they can see you, they know it's you, and they don't have to point out anybody else, it's you. That's when it's a challenge to stand up. But the Bible says you should love your what?
Yes.
You must love your neighbor as yourself. Yes. Mm-hmm. And your neighbor is not the person who lives at the next house beside you. Mm-mm. Your neighbor is anybody you meet after you step out of that house, or even in your house, sometimes your neighbor is your own children. That is strange. Yeah, they come and go. You only see them when they wake up in the morning, you don't see them till night. It covers them. Yes, yeah. Go ahead.
But I was saying, Howard, but you know, say, same with Stan. And I think Winston brought up first, which I backed up on, is that it come back. That is why God's a God of principle, right? Yes, we need the support. And Lorraine made a valid point in terms of, you know, when the cracks come, when the rubber meets the road, and when you're on your own, because people are in different type of situations, your faith is tested. And we have many Bible character who have their faith tested when they're talking to understand principle. And that is why I love about God. God is a God of principle. So people may not agree with you, but if you know you're right and what he's saying is right, is correct, then you stand. You stand. You stand by yourself. And the thing is, you know, in the long run, If people go to the conscience, they people actually acknowledge that you're right. Yeah? So when you know you're right, you stand the principle. And that's always been my philosophy. I don't give two monkeys who want to agree or not. If I'm convinced that this is wrong or this is right, then even on my own, it's hard. It's not easy, it's hard. But your conscience must dictate when you deal with certain issues. Your conscience must dictate. And if you're going to chop and change because my friend, you're in a group, then boy, you're going to go to the slippery road. You have to be able to stand on your own because God has got a principle. Anything that relates to Christ, it's a one principle.
Yeah. And then what you'll realize, anything you do that does not have a foundation of any principle at all, it cannot survive.
Can't.
Even if it's a gang, they have rules that governs Absolutely. How they operate.
Absolutely.
And if somebody breaks that rule, they're going to come into issues with the gang.
Absolutely.
Even at school, they have rules how it operates. Workplace, they have rules how it operates. And everywhere you go, there's a set of rules that cause the operation to run smoothly.
The law of the land that we're in.
Rule is not kept. Then we have a problem with the operation. All right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Howard?
Yes?
There's a well-known hymn, and it has this chorus. It says, dare to be a Daniel,
stand alone.
And dare to stand alone.
Stand alone. Yeah.
Dare to have a purpose firm, and dare to make it known. Now, you notice the word dare comes out each time. And
challenge.
I think we need to realize that there comes a time when we have to be, as it were, daring, you know. The three Hebrew boys dared to stand up to the king and says, we're not going to bow down, you know. Daniel dared to pray, even when he knew that he was going to be thrown in the lion's den. And that daring takes an immense measure of faith.
Yes.
Now, faith is easy to talk about when things are going okay.
Great.
But when things start to get bad now, and we begin to feel the licks, can we still maintain that faith? Can we still say, you know what? I'm not giving up because, you know, God says so. And at the end of the day, we have to have a mindset that says, whatever God says, I'm going to stick with it. Regardless of whether you're in a minority or you're the majority. It's about God at the end of the day. It's not about government, but it's about God. It's not even about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It's about God. Because at the end of the day, we are answerable to God. The Bible says that every man will have to stand for themselves in the judgment.
Yeah.
You know? So all these things we really have to take into consideration.
But I want to throw a challenge in that earth. Yes, we say all of this. But we are now being tested as we speak. And I would want to say to us, we're doing a bit, but we're not doing as much as we could.
I agree.
We're not doing as much as we could. We as a people, this is when we should actually come together. I'm not telling God to break no rules enough, but I'm saying this is actually when we should be talking about what are we going to do? What deliveries can we do? How much of our people are even if they are family, it is our responsibility as a church, as a church member to look out for the next person and our neighbors and say, well, you know, this Wednesday evening, let us go out into the community and drop a few, whatever we have. Let us make contact and see what's going on. And sometimes it's only when you get on the phone and you talk to some people and you spend a good 5 or 10 minutes with them, you hear the deep inner things that are going on. When you call them for the first 3 minutes, they're not telling you nothing. Oh, hi, Brother Kelly. Oh, you're doing hell. All right. But after you start talking a little bit, and how is it? How's family? How's been the house? How's been that? Is everything all right with your bills? No, because that. And then you realize prayer is needed on that one, or can I go and do something? And, you know, I can understand the fear of corona being spread. I can understand all of that. But I want us to bring this together today and say, We are talking about love. Love has to be practical, you know. For me, love has to be practical.
I'm in agreement with you, Howard. But you have to also think about, you know, which you did mention just now, that you have to think about spreading. But also, the other side is we all have varying gifts. Mm-hmm. So I might not be a foot person. I might be a heart person, or I might be active in listening. And so I may make phone calls, or, you know, somebody is very good with their hands. They will go and do things and for somebody else. So it's sometimes as well, I know that we may say that, you know, or think that people are not doing things, but it's about also what gifts we have and pooling that together. Because I don't really think we know our gifts. Well, not that we don't know our gifts. I think we do know our gifts, some of us, but it's we're not pooling it together to benefit the whole body. So that the whole body can flourish. That's what I think is an issue.
I agree with you, Lorraine. And I'm not saying, never for once think I'm saying that people are not doing things. But I'm saying, when you look at the impact of the people who are non-church, I don't know if that's the right word or if that's even a word, but the people who are not actively church members out there, you would see them trying to put on this, they're trying to do that, they're going and they're doing little things, and you can see that. I'm not saying the church is not doing what they're doing quietly. Nobody knows if they're doing or what they're doing. No, so our own people don't know where or how to access some of what we're doing. Because yes, we might be doing, and I might be praying, you might be praying, you might issue some food, you might do that. But what I'm saying is, we need to at least say, well, you know, this is what I can do. As you say, we need to maybe put our gifts on the line then. And say to people, oh, well, you know, between, say, 5 and 7, I'll take phone calls, I'll listen. Give me a phone with a sign, and I'll take phone calls. And you put that on the website, and we go on. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just saying we need to become innovative in how we love each other. And it's not just giving. It's sometimes just praying for that person, praying, have a good session of prayer for somebody. Feel it. I don't say people are not doing it. I'm just saying today we're talking about love. We're talking about practical love. Yes, Winston.
Okay. We've got two things going on here. We've got personal and we've got corporate. Now, like Lorraine said, there are many personal things going on that the church may not know about. You know, we may speak to people who are not in the church and whatnot, and these things happen in the background. Remember what we read in Romans, yeah? In the fact that when you're on your own in your cell, do you stand up? Likewise, you don't have to be in a cell. When you're out there on the street on your own and there ain't no other church members with you, do you still love your fellow brethren? Which is what it is. And as long as you're doing that, you're working. Now, when you look at it on the corporate side, I know some churches are well known. You know, some churches base their whole, you know, 80% of their ministry on knocking doors and we do this and we do that and everyone knows who we are and blah, blah. And we tend to be, well, what are you doing? You know, remember there's a verse that says, don't go and pray the Pharisees and the priests pray in public with the loud face. We don't need to be praying in public. We need to be doing our thing. And if you're talking about the corporate side now, as a church, as a church on the whole, then I would say what we started down at Stokey with the website, all we need to do is promote that. Now, if someone needs something and they call us up, someone needs someone to help me lay my floor, then we can put that out to people in our community who can go and help them. Someone may be good with their hands. Someone's got a ill or you got someone who can go and say, do you mind if we pray with you? But then that's then organized by the corporate body. But that doesn't mean that the individual bodies are not doing the work. It's because it's not seen, and there's a banner waving saying, look what we do. That you know, I remember going on in gathering, and an Asian man opened the door. He goes, yeah, we were. And I said, Adra. And his face lit up. He said, you guys gave my uncle sight in India.
Wow.
You got fixed his eyes. Adra, you're the guys. You know?
Wow.
You know? So, you don't see Adra all over the TV. You know, you don't see us, blah, blah, but we do the work. You know, so sometimes it's not always about being seen to be doing the work, and we might have the impression that we're not doing anything, but I think on the corporate side, it may look like we can, that's for us to organize ourselves better in that. We started with that website and the banner. That's a good start. Maybe we need to, every 6 months, we get a little leaflet out to the neighbors, the same street, and that it can spread from just our street. They will tell their friends. We don't have to go around to all the other streets. We deal with our locality. And if they need something and we can help, we're there to help. Maybe that's something we could look at.
All right, great. But when I'm presenting today, I'm presenting us both. I'm more looking at us as a church, not as an individual individual person. And I'm saying, as an individual person, we still need to stand up. We still need to be in our workplace and be that person that Christ wants us to be. But as a church, we also need to be coming up with, helping to come up with ideas and plans and put it forward so that we can run. We, as leaders, we don't get everything and we don't know everything. So we are saying the church members and regular people that come to church can help us, can step up and show us, this is what I would like us to do. Let's see what it's about. Let's put the plans in action and see if we can do a bit more to reach even our own members who are shut in, who haven't seen in ages. Some of them, nothing is wrong with them, but we haven't seen them in ages. They just get dropped through the crack, call it up.
All right. Can I just say that, like Winston said, you know, we build on what we have. And I think sometimes that's the difficulty. We don't build on what we have. So, for example, we've put up a banner and we've advertised that we're there to support. Now, for me, it just automatically seems quite logical that maybe we need to extend ourselves to the shops within the local area. So those shops in that local area, you know, we as a church community could say that we're serving the community, and is there anything that they would like to contribute? Or if they can't do that right now, is it that we can just, you know, take their details and phone them in the next couple of weeks, whatever the case may be. So you start with something small, like the banner that we have up at church, and you build on it. But we're not builders in the way that, you know, because, you know, when you think of the body of Christ, you know, you have to nourish it and nurture it and give it the right nutrients and build it up, you know. So we've started with something. So it's about planning and thinking, okay, where do we go with it now? You know, so you build on it, and it can serve our church community as well as the local community.
All right. The next text.
Can I ask something, Elder? Can I ask something, please?
Go ahead.
We are talking about love here, and are we supposed to just love the people out there, but not ourselves within the church?
Saying that.
No, as I said, we should love our, even our own members, even those in our church. And I thought I mentioned that earlier.
The reason why I'm asking that, since this pandemic started, nobody has ever called me. I live alone and I'm an unwell person. Nobody has ever called me to ask me, Elizabeth, what can we do for you?
Okay.
Is there anything you need? Is there anything what you cannot do that we can do for you? I'm not being personal, but I'm just asking a question. Because
Elizabeth, we were talking about that in our prayer meeting. We were talking about that. Is anybody reaching out to the members who are bedridden, living alone. I remember before we broke up, this is Dawn here. I remember before we broke up, we took mobile numbers to, we put numbers in a hat and we put, and each person pulled out a number and we were supposed to keep in contact.
I wasn't here when you broke up.
And we were supposed to keep in contact with somebody was supposed to ring on a weekly or a two-weekly basis to see if that person was okay. Now, in the
I'm sure
we have your number somewhere, and that can be arranged. But in the prayer ministry, we have from 5 to 6 every morning. We're running there. I think this must be the last week coming up. We have prayer ministry where we can get together and pray, which we have every morning from 5 to 6. And also that we've also created a leaflet for, we have a prayer line, which is specifically geared to the community, whereby they could come, and this is throughout the day from, I think it's 7 o'clock in the morning to the last person is 9 o'clock. And we do it on an hourly basis. Like I would do, my slot is on Friday from 7 to 8. And then say, for example, Sister Eubanks, she takes over from me from 8 to 9. And this has been going through for a couple of weeks now. We have been doing this. So it's for each ministry.
If we have been in pandemic for months.
Like Lorraine, yes, like Lorraine said, and we can get in the community involved for each ministry to see what they can do in their ministry with the community and with the members. So this prayer line is available. Donna has Sister Hazel.
All right, so before you go on, Dawn, I mean, that is something that is, yes, Sister Willis has been in touch with me, but so we can get back to what the prayer meeting is, but just quickly, but it hasn't been given out yet. So it is something that the prayer ministries department is doing, but the information hasn't been given out as yet.
Okay.
But we have been pandemic for months, guys. I'm talking about months.
But I think also, Sister Elizabeth, it's a two-way street, because you can still, if you need something, you can contact, and I feel like for me, with the communications and everything that I do, you can come through me and I can get it to the relevant person. But I do hear what you're saying.
All right. And
the only
I'm not
person
saying...
who has ever called me Sharon to ask how I am, that's it.
Yeah, I'll take your number, Sister Elizabeth.
No, I'm not asking anybody to take my number. I was just asking a question. That is there anything like that going on in our
church?
Yeah,
there is.
Because
there's
we are talking about loving.
Can we get back to the prayer meeting?
Yeah.
Elizabeth, we'll get on to that after. You and I will have a talk. But what I'm saying is, this is what we talk about, love. So we want to start, and as we say, the prayer ministry and everybody is doing things. But what we want to do is centralize it so it comes through communications or something, but want it to be centralized and people are aware that they can reach, they can get some form of, if they're feeling a bit down, they can talk to these people, they can do this. And the next reading is gonna be we have three more, and we'll do those three and we come to a close. We have 10 minutes. So Ephesians 2 and verse 4 to 6, let's read Ephesians 2 and verse 4 to 6. Ephesians 2 and verse 4 to 6. All right, no, but I cannot hear. Somebody's reading, I cannot hear.
Oh, good.
I've muted myself, sorry. Ephesians 2 verse 4 to 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loves us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. and looking for, and verse 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
All right. So God, even when we drift, when we step away, when we forget him, when our faith gets weak, when we're not sure if anybody's out there or anybody remembers that we are there, God remembers that we are there. And God is going to look after us despite whatever else is going on around us. So we need to remember that. Like, we're trusting God. I'm getting a feedback. I don't know why. We're trusting God for whatever he's doing for us and whatever he can. And sometimes we need to also realize that God is saying to us, I've given you that ability. You don't need to sometimes we pray and we ask God for things that he has already sorted out for us, that he has already dealt with for us. But because we're not really looking, or we're not really focusing, or we're not tuned in well enough, we don't realize that God has already solved that issue. But we also need to realize that even when we are in great spirit, everything is going well, we still need to love, and we still need to pray, we still need to give him thanks, and we still need to reach out to others. And even when we are in struggles, like the widow with her mite, we still give what we can give. We might be struggling, but if we find we can give a banana, give the banana anyway. If we find we can give a word of cheer, give the word of cheer, yes. Even though you don't really, you yourself is struggling, but you have that little energy to give a word of cheer, let us do that. What I'm really saying is that we need to look overall at what we consider love to be, and find ways and means of sharing God's love, which he gives each and every one of us. All right, John, 1 John 3 and verse 1. 1 John 3 and verse 1. Anybody? First John 3 and verse 1.
Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Right. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not.
All right, so 1 John 3 and verse 1 say, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And is there any of us here that can say we don't know why we can't feel God's love, or we don't know that God loves us? I don't think there's any of us who really can say that with a clear conscience, that God loves us. He says, and I'm reading First John 4 and verse 10, and it says, love constrains. It is not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And at the point, I choose those two for the closing ones, because it says, what manner of love? There's nobody who loves us like how God loves us. Even we don't love ourselves like how he loves us. But we have to try and give and allow God to take control of our lives. Because that's the only time we're really going to genuinely be able to love, be able to share, be able to care, be able to realize what God is asking us to do when he says, love your neighbor as yourself. When he says, love one another. When he says, oh, can you therefore say you love me and you don't love your brother who you can see? This is what the word is saying. Mm. We need to start loving God enough, touching base with God, getting connected to God, so that we can love even when we think there's nothing left to give or to do. God will show us a way. And I do know that there's a lot of, we have 7 elders, and each of us as elders have a group of the church members that we are supposed to link with. And I know that we also have different groups working behind the scenes, Sister Willis and our crew. There's a lot of people doing things. But what I'm saying is maybe we need a platform to put those connections on, so people know if I need somebody to pick up some medication for me because I can't go, there's somebody in the church who's willing to do that run for me. There's somebody who is willing to just help me to fix the pipe that is broken and I don't have the money to pay, but I need the water to stop running because my bill is going to go 20 million before it gets fixed if I don't get it fixed now. There's somebody who is going to take a time out of their busy schedule and out of the difficult moments they have to give me a call and say, hey, what are you doing? There's somebody who's going to be able to say, listen, working towards opening up church, and I'm more than willing to come down and help to clean up the church, clean the chairs and do all of that and get the place open up. the stranger can come in and worship. There's somebody who's going to be able to do what we did this Sabbath, like by going down there and go to house to house. And there's another venture coming up, which you soon hear about, for that same thing. But all I'm saying, let us tune in more to each other. Let us tune in more to whatever communication is doing. Look on the website. If you don't know, ask, call Donna and ask her. If she don't know, she'll have to call somebody and ask them. But let us start talking to each other. I think that's where our love will start growing. When we start talking to each other, and you know, this protective wall we all put up, we all, you know what I didn't say? You all put up. I said, we all put up this protective wall. So somebody will call you and you say, oh yeah, I'm fine, I'm good, I'm all right. And then when the person is gone, you say, oh boy, I need this, I need that. Oh, that's not good. I'm not good. I'm not all right. And this is it. The person might not be able to help, but you know what do you find happening? I'm going to close on this. In the military, we have a thing called comradeship. If a soldier is down and him don't have polish his shoes and the inspection is coming up, you know the next one giving him some polish. We're not letting him down get the shoes polished because the whole team is going to get done for one man don't get him shoes polished. So we give him polish to polish his shoes. And that's a trivial, what do I call it? That's material thing that is not even something significant. But because we are together and we see ourselves as one arm for one group of men, we would support the other one to stay clean, to look. If you can't make him bed, we'll help him make it. You know why? When the commander comes, he's going to punish every one of us for that one mistake that wasn't made. And you know what we say? God says, when he comes, he's going to ask me, what did I do for myself? But he said, there will be none of us that will get away from having the opportunity to do something and never do it and still continue just going on like we don't know. We will have the mistake and we can go to him and ask him to forgive. But he said, listen, everybody who comes in your pathway is somebody that you can show love, you can talk about love with, and you can allow to understand that God is and that God is love. And I'm just wanting us to leave with that. That we're going to start with our families. We're going to start with those ones who give us grief in the family and who give us headache if we have those in our family. We're going to start with those we haven't seen for ages, but we know they're all right and we know they're good, but we're going to give them a call. And our family don't mean my biological family. I mean my church family. Everybody. And it is something that we can practice and it's easy. Just a phone call. It's just a sacrifice of a time that we have to make and that few minutes. And I have always been the person to say, don't ask me how I'm doing if you don't want to know. So when we go to love, let us go to love with an open heart, with sincerity. Don't ask something that you're not sure you don't want to know. And if you ask something and you can't deal with it, don't say, all right, I'll sort it. I can't deal with it, but let me find somebody else who can. That's how we show love, you know. That's the love I'm trying to get out of us, the practicality of love. All of us can say we love each other. We're not beating up on each other. We're not quarreling at each other. But we want to be more practical in a time like this. So as we close and we're going to pray, I'm going to just ask for two prayers and then I'll close. We will pray and ask God to connect us to him. That's the first prayer. The next prayer is that we pray and ask God to show each of us how we can love, our individual way of loving, that he wants us to use to love somebody else to bring them to his kingdom. That's what we want. For him to show us how we should love the people who are going to come in his path for the next hour or the next 2 days. Oh, because each of those, I might have 10 people in 10 different ways, but God can show me each of them at the time is needed. So I'm asking for that, and then I'll close. Ready? Okay. Should I just pray then to close? Let us pray. Mighty Father, we want to thank you for your mercies. We want to thank you for your grace. We want to thank you, Lord, that you have loved us with an everlasting love, a love far beyond what we can even understand. Because even when we curse you, even when we go up against you, even when we say things that would just destroy another human being, you still say, I'm going to love them anyway. Even when we run 50 miles in the opposite direction from you, you just say, I'm coming after you anyway. With open arms, you love us. You provide for us. You care for us. You give us that health and strength that we need. All of that is your love. You prevent us from harms and dangers. All of that is your love. You give us health and strength. You give us breath of life. All of that is your love. You give us clear understanding. You allow our minds to be working in an order that or 50 odd years, I still know that my name is Howard Kelly. And Lord, we just want to thank you for these things that we take for granted, that we get every day, but we do not see it as love because it is provided so freely and so easily. Lord, help us to turn our lives over to you in such a way that we can learn to love from you and through you so that we can love others. Because you have said we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves. That's a very big and difficult one because most people don't want to love anybody else by the way they love themselves. But Lord, help us to become humble enough to realize that without those that kind of heart of love, we are struggling to make it to the kingdom. We're going to struggle to understand your word. We're going to struggle to see the goodness you have given us. We're going to struggle to have faith. We're going to struggle to really love. So tonight, as we close, as we come to this, may those who are here online, they would go away with a new zeal of, I have always loved, but I'm going to have to make an extra effort to love and to care for someone else apart from my biological family and myself. Lord, help us to realize that not only our friends who we have good relationship with that we need to love, but we have to love the man who we don't have good relationship with. We have to love the prime minister who sometimes does things that rub you the wrong way. We have to love Donald Trump who sometimes even today talk rubbish. And you just we just have to realize that he's a person. And he's as fallible as the rest of us. He makes the same set of mistakes. And he's just trying to pretend that he knows. And like many of us, he doesn't know. So we just want to turn to you, Lord, and ask you for your mercy and your grace. Ask you to renew a right spirit within us. Create in us a clean heart. Help us, Lord, to want to love others despite what they may present us, despite what they may come at. Because sometimes the presentation is just a call for help. The presentation is just a call that I need some help and I need you to help me. But when we ignore it, Lord, we miss that opportunity to worship and to serve you in loving another human being, in caring for another human being. And Lord, more so, we want to ask you that every family bowing, every head's bowing here, that you'll touch their family, their extension of family, and their church family that they are part of, so that they will be drawn closer. That you prevent the colons of death from drawing close to any of us and to our families, so that we will have time to really make it right and to show your love towards others, so that others will come to know you. And not just to come to know you, but to give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for everything. And we ask, Lord, that you'll go with us throughout the rest of the week until we come up onto the Sabbath again. And as we do this, may you just protect us, provide for us, and cover us, and help us to start practicing. We know what it is in theory, but help us to start practicing it. And those of us who are practicing, Lord, help us to even be stronger in our practice and to encourage others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Good night, everyone.